I was hours into a hunt for new digs at the local shopping mall and losing steam fast when fate intervened.
Drumsticks, get your drumsticks!
Nutty, sweet drumstick? What luck!
One drumstick, please.
Here you go.
This is hot and made of chicken.
I want an ice-cold, creamy, crunchy drumstick sundae cone.
You and me both, buddy. But that's the vendor next door.
Drumsticks.
But that line is 3 miles long.
Oh, well. Another day, another drumstick.
Are you struggling to lower your bad LDL cholesterol, even though you may be taking a statin, swapping steaks for salads, and exercising while listening to this podcast? Ask your doctor if Repatha Evolocumab is right for you. With Repatha, you can dramatically reduce bad cholesterol and the risk of another heart attack while enjoying life too, because you're human. And with convenient self-administration, you can take Repatha in the comfort of your own home. Do not take Repatha if you're allergic to it. Repatha can cause serious allergic reactions. Signs include trouble breathing or swallowing, or swelling of the face. Most common side effects include runny nose, sore throat, common cold symptoms, flu or flu-like symptoms, back pain, high blood sugar and redness, pain, or bruising at the injection site. Visit Repatha.com or call 1-844-REPATHA. Talk to your doctor today about Repatha.
Hey parents, Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Mikey and Rinny.
A show about the serious and not so serious parts of our edible world. Let's eat.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Mikey and Rin Eat In. This is Mikey.
This is Rindog.
And this is our show about food, eating, cooking, and life. The depth of that conversation. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. I am feeling some just super yummy vibes after the interview we just did.
We had a great interview. Yeah, so we decided to talk to one of our friends who is a lactation consultant. And we're talking about the first food. The first meal.
Yes.
The first thing that you get to eat. And that's breast milk, formula.
Yep.
And she helps you with that.
Yeah.
Which I think is really cool. I mean, it's an amazing thing to think about, you know, starting. I talk about this on the show, but the idea of like seeing our baby eat things for the first time. I've always think about sweet potato. I always think about bacon. Like watching our kids' face when they eat bacon for the first time.
Delicious.
Whoa. Yeah. But I had never really thought about the idea that there is literally a first time that this kid will be eating. Yeah.
Yes.
And she did an amazing part. She had a cool way of describing it.
Yeah, she was talking. We didn't record this part on the episode, but she was talking about this like it's two people sort of coming together for, to like waltz together for the first time that have never waltzed, never danced before, right? And
you're saying waltz in a really funny way.
Waltz.
It's like you're saying it with an O. Rennie always gives
it's
me.
It's not W-O-L-T-Z.
Waltz. Like warts. Like my Rennie always gives me my dad's shit because my dad says scallops instead of scallops. And I say scallop. And you're always like,
I think just because it sounds gross and flabby to say it like that.
Well, and a scallop.
It sounds like a scallop, I am not going to get food poisoning. And a scallop, I'm definitely going to get diarrhea.
Yeah.
If I eat it.
That sound is like the sound of your butt gulping. Kind of like a scallop. Yeah. And a scallop looks like a booger, like a solidified ocean booger or something. Yeah. Oysters don't gross you out. Scallops, you did get sick off scallops one time.
Yeah. And I'm ruined.
Yeah. Game over. Once it happens one time, do you know that I had this with marinara sauce for a really long time?
Oh.
Because in college, I like puked a couple times after having eaten, you know, either pasta or like pizza or something.
Mikey.
That.
Are you sure it wasn't 4 a.m. Mama T's pizza?
Yeah.
After whatever. Like 75 Natty Lights.
What? That made me feel sick?
That made you puke.
Oh, well, no. No. Here's the thing I'm saying is that I had vomit smells like acid. Tomato sauce is acidic. And so like there was this whole period of time where if I was like washing the dishes after like a spaghetti meal and I would get the kind of like soapy, warm spaghetti smell. I was like, I can't handle this. Like, and it's, I had a root beer float aversion for years because we had a root beer float party in like fifth grade and I drank 20 of them or something and then puked and I couldn't have like root beer for years. So
Yeah, but she was just talking about this, like two humans dancing for the first time together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I don't know. I just thought that was such a really beautiful image and also a really like forgiving image about how, you know, it's going to take time, right?
Sure.
You have to learn. You guys have to learn each other. You have to learn how to feed, learn how to eat. And that if it isn't successful, it doesn't mean that you're a bad human.
Right.
It just means that you had some challenges with your waltz and then maybe you have to try a polka.
Sure.
And the polka would be formula.
Yeah, sometimes you have to Dougie together. You know?
That would have been.
Sometimes you have to teach them how to Dougie.
I like that you use that reference. And I
use the polka. I have my pregnant grandmother over here.
Well, I kind of am.
Dang, that poodle skirt really looks great on your pregnant belly. Well, there's so much pressure put around food, you know, especially for women, but it, like in our culture around like, well, what are you eating? How are you eating? What are you feeding your kids? And breastfeeding is just such a polarizing breastfeeding versus formula or with each other. It's such a weirdly shameful or like thing that people call people out for. Mm-hmm. And it's like, they don't feel bad about it. Like they'll say like, oh God, you're feeding your kid formula or whatever. And it's so judgmental.
Breast is best.
Yeah. Fuck you.
Right.
Like there's, I don't know. I was talking with a good friend the other day and she really, really wanted to breastfeed and was having production issues and was having a lot of pain and things like that and used formula. And she was in like, you know, she works in kind of the healthcare field. And there were people that were educators like in her field that were just saying like formula, like that feeding your kid formula is akin to feeding your kid to like KFC or like poison, basically, is the way that she was putting it. And first of all, that's just, it's such an ableist thing and like such a privileged thing to say to someone. It's so fucked up.
Right.
And the other part is just like, it's, they're going to be good. They're going to be fine.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, I'm so excited for you guys to listen to this conversation.
And we talk about, you know, that as well as we really get into food systems and we talk about the formula shortage. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when we talk about these things, like food is food, right? Formula is food. The sourcing of food in our world for like where we're getting the things that we eat is a really big issue that we, if you're an eater, if you're someone who cares about food, if you're someone who cares about our world, like this is at the forefront. Food waste. I was at a food conference years ago that was in Washington and they were Washington State apples are famous at this food systems conference about food waste. They were serving New York apples.
No.
What? No. And the only reason for that is money.
Right.
Is someone's making money off of the transport of those things. And that, you know, and so anyways, it's just something to think about. And I think that our guest really had a wonderful insight on a lot of these things.
Yeah, it's juicy. We hope you enjoy. Here's Sarah.
Bye.
Hi.
Hi, guys. Welcome to Mikey and Rin Eat In, the Mikey and Rin interview. Rin Dog, who we got with us?
Oh, hey, everybody. We have a really special friend today. I'm really thrilled to introduce this beautiful human. She is a lactation consultant. She is an educator. And her name is Sarah. And she's sitting to my right. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, good morning.
So really, we wanted to talk to Sarah today, I mean, for lots of reasons, but, you know, we're parents in training right now.
We are aspiring. Or no, I guess not even aspiring. We are, I mean, I consider us parents at this point.
Uh-huh. We're on the road.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Waiting for baby to come earthside.
Yeah. And Sarah and I had a conversation a couple of weeks ago about lactation, about feeding, about formula. And she's just got such really interesting ideas.
Totally.
And I found our conversation so rich. And I said, do you want to do this on the podcast, please?
I thought it was so fun because you guys have kind of shifted your show. I've been listening ever since it was just about babies.
Oh, sure. Totally.
Loved following your journey. And I really appreciate your vulnerability with the community. It's been really important, especially as someone who works with birthing families constantly.
Yeah.
To like hear your guys' emotions through everything. And anyway, as you've shifted to this more food-centric thing, it was kind of fun, this idea that we kind of get to bring them both together.
Sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, and this is first food.
It's the first food. It's the first meal.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was thinking about that, and it's just like, what an amazing idea. Like, you know, and this is one of the things that I'm the most excited about being a parent is like the idea of like, I get to be with my kid the first time they eat a sweet potato or bacon or whatever. Yes. And, but like really the first thing that they're eating is something along the lines of breast milk or formula or something in between that I don't even know about.
That's about it. Yeah.
Maybe gravy will hollandaise. We could consider. But I just think there's something so amazing about that. Like it is the first thing that this, because, okay, I'll play dumb guy because I totally know the answer to this. When baby is right now with Corinne, right? Mm-hmm. Baby is eating through the umbilical cord.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
What happens with their mouth?
They're not having to use it right now.
Is it sealed shut or they're breathing fluid?
Yeah.
Like the movie The Abyss.
Like they're still working on their swallowing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
so
they're not getting nutrition that way.
Okay, but they are swallowing the fluid, like it's going through their system. So technically they're kind of, well,
to talk about first foods.
Yeah.
Trying to really dig down.
Yeah.
Yeah. But so like, okay, so are they digesting amniotic fluid? Like are they pooping it out?
That's such a good question. I'm actually not an expert on nutrition for babies in pregnancy.
Right. Which makes sense.
And you got to know I'm going to rabbit hole on that later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. I just had never really thought about that until now.
I know. And then there's meconium and there's like lots of stuff going on.
Is that the stuff that they're kind of covered in when they're born?
No, that's like their poop.
Meconium is the first poop.
Yep.
Oh, first poop. Okay, cool.
Yeah. It's really dark and sticky and delightful.
Like a demi-glace. We'll just bring everything back to food.
Yes. So it's
like a sauce base. Okay. Okay. Well, so tell us a bit about what you do and like what are the biggest parts of your world when you're working with your clients?
Yeah. So as a lactation consultant, I spend most of my time talking with parents about breastfeeding. Mm-hmm. Or generally feeding human milk. So it might not be at the breast or at the chest. It could just be feeding, they pump and then feed through a bottle. Kind of goes both ways. But that's generally my world. This year, I've gotten kind of a crash course in formula with the formula shortage. And so I'm really excited to bring some of that knowledge now to my clients because I don't work with people who 100% breastfeed.
Mm. Right,
you know,
sure.
Sometimes they don't have enough milk and they want a combo feed. It doesn't have to be all one or all the other.
Yeah, sure.
So now that I get to have all this information, I'm really excited to be able to be more well-informed.
I love that. And it's, you know, I have some good friends who had a baby around the time that we were supposed to have our baby.
Yeah.
And she was talking about how she was underproducing and then it was also just very difficult for her to breastfeed. And so they're using this formula. It's this kind of wild shit that comes from Canada or Europe or somewhere like that.
Okay.
And it's very expensive.
Yeah.
But I ate some of it. Drank some of it. It was delicious. But the biggest part for her was the social part of it was that people were kind of like, she lives in this town where everybody's kind of like, you know, in shape and performs at their like highest ability. And so the fact that she like wasn't able to do this, people were like very sweet about it, but there was always this like element of judgment in it.
Yeah,
and she was just like, fuck you.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is so hard because we don't get set up for success in this country with lactation.
Yeah.
Everyone should have a lactation consultant, right? everybody should get lactation within, you know, the first few days of your baby being born. You should get regular follow-ups, even if things are going well.
Yeah.
Because even if things are going well, parents need to know that things are normal.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
There's so much like, oh, should my baby really be eating this often or pooping this often? Like, there's always this, like, what's normal?
Right.
Sure.
And that's one way you can know. Like, if you have a good community of other parents that have been through it, you can reach out and talk to them about it. That's fine.
Right.
Although, you know, it's nice to have someone who has some education in it to say, like, we really want it to look like this. Or, yeah, totally normal. You're doing amazing.
Well, and also everyone's, it's so individual, right?
Yeah, so individual.
It's so individual on the person that's feeding and then also the person that's eating. And so you could probably talk to another parent who's like, ooh, I don't know, that it went totally differently for me, right?
Yeah. Well, and also just, and then to not even to speak of the like cultural aspects of breastfeeding and kind of like, you know, there's certain cultures that are just, that are like very anti-breastfeeding or it's kind of shamed. And I don't know, it's just, it's such an interesting thing that I never really, well, I remember years ago, the first time I ever really thought about breastfeeding was I was on this ferry in the like Olympic Peninsula, kind of San Juan Islands area. And there was this woman breastfeeding and this like sweet looking older woman came over. She looked like, you know, dictionary definition of a grandmother. And she had like, you know, her cute little golden girl's hair. And she came over and I was like, oh my God, this is going to be like a really sweet moment with this new mom. And she came over to her and she was like, you should be ashamed breastfeeding in public. This is disgusting. No one wants to see your breasts.
Yikes.
And, like laid into her about it. And she, and all, the only thing I could see the whole time was she had like a cross dangling from her neck.
Of course she did.
And I was, and so I wrote this blog post, I remember at the time, called Jesus Hates Nipples. And, but it was just such a, it was such an amazing thing to me. I was like, you should be fucking like bowing to this woman that she lets you into this, like this amazing moment where she's giving her child life.
Yeah.
And I didn't know that that was a thing. I didn't know that people were like, I mean, I knew growing up as a boy, I'd be like, oh, I get to scope a boob, you know, but I never was like, oh my gosh, there are like adult humans who don't want people to breastfeed in public. Yeah. I don't know. It just was something I never experienced.
But we'll glorify it everywhere else in our culture.
Sure.
Please wear, you know, bikinis every, you know, anywhere and everywhere.
Totally,
low, you know, low cut things.
Sure.
Show as
Super
much
Bowl
as you possibly want. Yeah.
Yeah. Totally.
But not when you're feeding a human.
No.
No.
That's utilitarian and disgusting. Yeah. I thought that was amazing.
Yeah. I always try to challenge people when I teach my lactation classes.
Yeah.
Like, can you, you know, if you have the guts, basically, can you please normalize breastfeeding in public?
Sure. Yeah.
Because it, if we normalize it, it's no longer a big thing. It used to be scandalous to show your ankle in public.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
If we all just show our boobs all the time, nobody's going to care anymore.
Right.
And if we're just feeding a baby, it shouldn't matter. And you can also nurse in public modestly.
Oh, right? Sure.
You
totally.
Totally can. So just feed your baby.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Totally. I mean, I love that there's all these companies doing cool stuff. Like Rinny has like the hat stuff from Hatch where you kind of can just like pull something to the side and maybe it's not from Hatch. But
yeah,
have,
but they're making it much easier.
Yeah,
I feel like
you can also like look good and kind of, you know, whatever. But it is just an amazing thing when you hang out somewhere where there are naked people. I was at Savi Island, which is like a, you know, a nudist beach here, a place you can swim naked around Portland. And like five, you know, for the first 5 minutes or stuff, or you know, so you're like, oh my gosh, people are naked around me. And then like after that, it's you just completely even forget about it.
Right.
You know,
it's
right.
no longer
it's just
thing.
Skin.
Yeah. Yeah. Sarah, tell us what, when you're working with clients, I'm curious if there's a thing that you see a lot, right? Like a question that, because I'm hearing that it's like, am I doing this right?
Mm-hmm.
But is there something specific that you see that either parents have questions about or just challenges with, like a theme that you see often?
Yeah. So the number one theme that folks worry about is enough milk.
Yeah.
For sure.
Mm-hmm.
And then the one that's really specific to my practice is because I'm kind of in a unique situation where our country will pay for lactation care within like a hospital system.
Okay.
Because of the ACA that is covered. But if you're a private practice like me, you have to jump through so many hoops to get paid through insurance. And then it's often like not really paying you a living.
Right.
So the only people who are paying for your lactation care through insurance is like a hospital system like Providence here in Portland.
Okay.
Right.
And there's nothing wrong with that. That's great. I love that that's available. But a lot of times they're going to help the more like basic struggles. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And folks will go see them every week and it's great. And sometimes they still can't figure it out. Mm. So I get the people generally who have been through the insurance paying system. Uh-huh. And they're like, I still can't figure this out. It's now worth it to pay out of my pocket to come see you and figure out like the harder stuff.
Okay. Yeah.
So I get this. The majority of my clientele is folks with tongue tie. Let's be honest.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Which has gone up?
That's the question.
Okay.
Yeah.
We don't know.
Okay.
Because so lactation as a science is only 36 years old.
Oh, really? Mm.
You know, we've been doing it ever since humans have existed.
Yeah. Mm. Yep.
But we took away from the matriarchal healthcare that was in our homes, the midwives, all that stuff. We tried to put it in this very patriarchal medical system.
Yeah.
And we lost a lot of knowledge along the way. And there's no money in research for breast milk.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like
right.
No one's making money off of me feeding my baby with my own body.
Yeah, for sure. Right. Yeah. I know that is the most.
Pfizer can't really create something.
No. So the research is tricky.
Yeah. Yeah. The most locally sourced closed loop system.
Right. Huh. So there is some research. We're working on it. We have an amazing ENT in town, Dr. Gaheri, who is involved in research, trying to get us kind of to a place where we can point to some scientific purpose or like reason for things.
Interesting.
Or prevalence.
Because I've heard of people being tongue tied, but I thought of it, you know, historically it's more about people not being able to speak correctly or whatever. Mm-hmm. But just the amount of people in our orbit who've had kids with pretty serious tongue tie issues, I don't know. It felt really new.
Can you speak to, just for people that don't know, just like the kind of quick and dirty of what that means?
Yeah. So we all have frenulum.
Yeah.
All three of us here at this table could put our tongue under our lip and feel one connecting our lip to our gums.
Yeah.
We have one under our tongue. We have them in other places in our body too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So the problem is when they connect too tightly or in the wrong place.
Mm-hmm.
So
okay.
Everyone has them. It's just like kind of where they're located and how tight
sometimes
they are.
They can be like in the cheek, right?
There are cheek ties. That's totally a thing.
Okay.
The big one that causes problems for nursing is the tongue.
Okay.
Because the tongue has to have a lot of different movement. It has to be able to move out of your mouth, but also has to be able to move up and down really well.
Oh, yeah. Okay,
and so if babies can't do that movement, then they're compensating. And that's where you get a lot of babies like chewing on mom's nipples and it hurts real bad.
Sure, sure.
And it's not meant to be that way. It's not supposed to hurt.
Mm.
It's supposed to be fine.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But if they don't have the right tongue movement, they can't get the suction that they need.
Yeah. Mm.
And then they're chawing to try to hold on.
Wow.
And is that where a lot of like mastitis will happen and things like that? Or is that a separate issue?
There's more risk for mastitis anytime you have nipple damage because bacteria can get in.
Sure.
But it's not necessarily a tongue tie thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's so interesting. I hadn't really thought about like the specific physics of breastfeeding until one of our friends recently had a baby with a cleft palate.
Ooh, yeah.
And, you know, and I was like, oh yeah, right. Of course he can't create suction.
Yeah.
And so he just had a really successful surgery and like he's crushing it.
Great.
So, but yeah, it's just so interesting. Okay. Here's a question that I have. What is breast milk?
it's human milk.
Yeah.
We create it from our bloodstream.
Oh, okay.
So it's pretty amazing. We have these mammary cells, that pull from, so like Rinny, you're going to pull from your bloodstream to create food for your baby.
Mm.
What?
Yeah.
That's wild.
My brain breaks, right, to think about it.
And so it's a lot of work for a human making milk for another baby, for a baby. So you need up to like 500 extra calories a day.
Wow.
Okay,
You got to keep taking up prenatal vitamins, make sure that you're taking care of your body. So when we see someone, say, with a cesarean birth who's having a hard time making milk, a lot of times it's because their body is prioritizing healing themselves first.
Oh.
So the energy is going into the healing and not into the making milk.
Okay.
And it can follow. Huh. But it's like if you're not there to take care of your baby, there's no point in having milk.
Mm-hmm.
So your body focuses all of its energy on preserving yourself and healing.
Yeah. Interesting.
And then the milk.
Huh.
Does milk, depending on the person, does it have a different makeup / taste?
I think the taste it varies even within the same person.
Yeah,
like
sure.
Day to day and month to month. But I think it's pretty universal as far as his taste goes ish.
I've had it before. I mean, it's very sweet.
Mm-hmm.
It's yummy.
Yeah.
I remember, what's that stupid show? Oh, Cribs on MTV. And there was a football player. I'm not good at sports stuff, but it was like a very famous football guy. And they would be like, here's my bedroom where all the magic happens. And then they would like go through the kitchen and they would
that
open
was
up.
Classic Cribs, I feel like.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Where all the magic happens. That phrase was said on every
where
single
the
episode.
Magic happens.
Yes.
Yeah. And then they would oftentimes, you know, be in the kitchen and they would open up their fridge. And so he was like showing you, like one side of it was like all like Cristal or whatever, like champagne. And then the other side, they were like, what's that? And he was like, oh, that's, it's breast milk. And I drink it before games. And they were like, awesome. Wow, where do you get all the breast milk? And he was like, well, my sister.
Shut up.
And I can't remember what it was. Oh, she was like a wet nurse or something. Like she was someone who could provide him a lot of. And so he's drinking his sister's breast milk.
Interesting. Yes.
And I was always like,
for the like wow. colostrum or something.
So maybe? Colostrum like, is the very first the milk very that first. You make.
Okay.
Yeah. So at that point, it would have been full mature human milk, okay. not a colostrum. Okay. Colostrum you get very little of, so that wouldn't do anything for a sports like, okay. for an athlete.
What an interesting choice.
But it was just that it's nutrient dense, I guess, or what was
it's got lots of good stuff in it. I mean, we have a lot of research to do. Folks have been looking into it when it comes to cancer as well. A lot of us, our brains went a little crazy thinking about how it could affect COVID.
Oh yeah.
Because the moms passed their antibodies into the milk.
Right. Okay.
So parents who are nursing their babies right now are protecting their babies from COVID if they've had COVID or if they've had a vaccine.
So I didn't even think about
that. A lot of us, our brain went, I was like, should I relactate to give it to my kids? Because they didn't get vaccinated until like last December.
You could have saved our president if you breastfed. President Biden, who we just found out has COVID today, if you had breastfed him.
Right. Yes. That would have been a real civic duty.
Absolutely.
An American hero.
Yes. Yeah.
Which is interesting because when you talk about this athlete and his sister, there's a lot of debate around kind of the ethics around folks wet nursing. There's a lot of racism in the past with slavery. Mm-hmm. And these Black women had to choose white babies to feed over their own babies. There's a really intense past there. But then also the ethics of like, what is a woman's time worth? What is her giving of her body and that energy worth?
Sure.
So it's tricky. It's tricky stuff.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it is like... when you were mentioning like the mammary glands, like, so do men not, or I guess cis men, do they have mammary glands?
There's some stuff there.
Okay.
Yeah. All bodies can breastfeed if they want to. Mm. It takes a whole lot more effort.
Right.
Mm. You know, if you haven't gone through a pregnancy, that's a lot more effort. If you, if you're a cis man, it takes way, way more effort.
Okay. Like what?
Like hormone treatment.
Okay. Yeah.
And there's also some other medications that can help bring in milk and develop tissue and stuff like that.
God, I mean, this is my dream. This is my.
You've always said it.
My father and I have always had this dream of like being able to carry a baby and breastfeeding and all that sort of stuff. Maybe this is my time. I really have to work on my nipple hair.
Oh yeah,
an enormous amount of breast hair. So, but that's interesting. I just hadn't really thought about that.
Because, yeah. You
know. Yeah.
I'd love to switch gears because, you know, we've talked so much about the sort of breast and chest feeding piece.
Yeah, sure.
And I'm curious about formula. And I know that this isn't necessarily like your expertise and you've just started to do these deep dives, but I was hoping that you could talk a little bit to the formula shortage. And then maybe let's just start there. So formula shortage, and I know that you're really assisting people in getting formula in Portland. So maybe you can talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, for sure. It's been very interesting because with lactation, we don't get a lot of education around formula or even really bottle feeding, which is ridiculous. The number of parents who are feeding breast milk in bottles, like we should be way more educated on that.
Sure.
So this year when... There's been a shortage going on for a little while. But what happened was back in the beginning of 2022, there was a recall of Similac formula.
Okay.
So they pulled a bunch of formula off the shelves. So that was part of it. So we also then had supply chain issues when it came to packaging.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
So we kind of had this perfect storm of issues around all of this. There's also only three manufacturers in the United States that make all of our baby formulas.
That was the part that fucked me up the most. I was like, wait, we're depending on these three companies to feed our children?
Yeah. And the FDA like really has a lockdown on things. So it's really hard to get stuff from other countries.
Was the recall because of a tainted batch or something like that? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's tricky stuff because, so technically, there's a whole bunch of debate. Like, and we can get into a lot of, we could talk about this for so many episodes.
Sure, yeah,
I really wanted
totally.
To. But around, like, formula preparation, folks are often thinking they're boiling the water to clean the water. But generally, our goal here is to get the water really hot, put it on the powder to make sure that we kill anything that was left in the powder.
Okay, sure.
But when you have a hungry baby, that's right. exhausting to try to figure out how to get it to the right temperature to sterilize the formula powder mm-hmm. and then let it cool to a temperature where your baby can actually drink
For
it.
Sure.
They're hungry. Like, yeah. what are you supposed to do? So a lot of people don't do that. Mm-hmm. Right. A lot of people just mix it with cold water or, you know, water that they know is safe.
That's so interesting. Yeah, because it would have to get above 165 technically to kill any bacteria.
Right. Huh. So, you know, it's tricky. So it's like those babies who are damaged by that formula, like, could it have been prevented by sterilizing with water? Maybe.
Wow. Okay. Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
And there's also ready to feed formula, which okay. is something I didn't really know much about before I went on this dive this year, which is when you buy it in liquid form, like,
yeah.
and that stuff is super safe.
Yeah.
Because it comes to ready to eat and it's already
aseptic.
All, yeah.
Yeah.
Huh. But it's so much more expensive.
Oh, I could yeah. only imagine.
And the storage, yeah. like sure. to have the amount your baby needs.
Right.
So people don't do that because it's not cost effective.
Okay.
Right. Well, and formula itself is, oh I mean, gosh. I've looked at the shelves and looked at the price tag and I can't,
yeah.
Well, it's
I can't even, it's unfathomable how expensive it is.
It feels like it's along the lines of kind of, you know, when people are getting married, like every, like, you know, the photographer who normally charges X amount charges Y amount for weddings. And they're right. like, you know, you could get a cheaper photographer, but do you want to ruin like your whole wedding? And it's right. like, you're stuck in this between a rock and a hard place. And it's like, well, do you care about your baby? It's such a bullshit
yeah.
version of capitalism. I mean, the fact that this is something that people have to like worry about financially.
Oh yeah. Folks should not have to pay for formula.
Absolutely. Right.
It should absolutely be right. like a thing you have a prescription for.
Exactly. Right. Totally. Right.
We should either pay for lactation yep. care or we pay for your formula.
Sure. Yes.
That's how it should go.
Well, and especially for, you know, a family that is, has a, the kid's got a dairy allergy or a soy mm-hmm. allergy or something oh, like that, yeah. right? And they need really specific.
Oh, that hypoallergenic stuff is like it's, twice the price.
Yes.
It's so expensive. Mm-hmm. And yeah, this is and all parents, stuff I didn't know until right. this year, yeah. really.
Well, yeah. and this is, I've bought, you know, whenever I've seen people that are like, you know, looking for help and they've got a kiddo and I'm outside of a store and I'm like, can I get you something? Like, I've gotten a ton of people diapers and formula.
Nice.
And someone recently they asked specifically for the hypoallergenic
yeah.
formula. And I didn't know that was a thing. And it was shocking to see how much more expensive
Unbelievable.
It was. It was such bullshit.
Yeah. It's yeah. like the same price as the big cans.
Right.
But it's like
half
a
the size.
Third the size.
Yeah. yeah.
It's
yeah.
tiny.
I know. Amazing.
It's wild. So we had this huge thing happen with the recall and then the supply chain issues. So this one big factory in Michigan had to shut down and
okay.
it took months and months. I'm not really sure what the hangup was.
But yeah.
It took many, many, many months to get back up and running. They didn't get back up until June, beginning of June.
Hmm.
And this was like February, March.
God, wow.
Right. And so the shelves just
How is that even possible
get,
for them?
Right.
Right.
I don't understand.
I mean,
that.
It must have been big enough repairs or something
right,
that
right,
they had
right.
to do. So the shelves just started getting more and more bare.
Mm-hmm.
And because all of that Similac formula had been taken off the shelves, folks ran to Enfamil.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a shortage of Enfamil, but not because they had a recall. It's because folks
just
switched
demand.
From Similac.
Yeah.
So actually now when you go to the store, you can find a bunch of the basic Similac Advance.
Okay.
Super easy.
Okay.
But people are kind of scared of it now.
Mm.
And they've switched their babies. And once you get a formula your baby's happy on, like
yeah.
you don't want to mess
would
with
you
that.
Switch? Of course. Right, right.
Yeah. So we've ended up with this situation where the shelves are literally bare.
Mm. Can babies eat something else?
Such a good question.
I was like, could you be making... I don't know, something, I don't know what it would even be, protein powder or
right.
like
so,
milk or.
So what happened was in like May is when the media really took hold of the situation
yeah, sure.
and really made everyone really aware of it. And I do think it had kind of hit a peak
mm-hmm.
as far as like shelves being empty. It was like 75% of the shelves were empty
wow.
at that point or something. So there was tons of social media outrage, as you imagine.
Right.
And person after person after person saying like, hey, just make this homemade baby formula.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a recipe.
You've got tons of time.
Yeah.
Right. Well, yeah.
And
no, certainly from that perspective, for sure. Yeah.
But, you know, the truth of the matter is if you're going to make a homemade baby formula, you better know a whole lot about nutrition to be able to vet.
Chemistry.
You got to vet which recipe is actually a good one.
Yeah.
Like
right.
we, so the lactation community really kind of rallied together when this happened. And there was a lot of different responses. So there was folks who would look into these recipes and study them and say, well, this one literally is like 5 calories an ounce versus 20 calories.
Oh,
an ounce.
Yeah, sure.
So if you were to make that recipe versus this one, you're going to starve your baby.
Mm.
Right. Okay. So you have to know which recipe to pick. And then on top of that, you have to be really good about sourcing your ingredients,
yep.
making sure the ratios are like you have to make everything perfectly to
right.
protect your baby. Their baby is vulnerable.
Yeah, sure.
So in my opinion, it's really not a good option.
Yeah.
So that was happening. So I was responding to every one of those. I don't like doing that stuff on social media. It's not worth my time generally.
Right.
But when it comes to baby safety, I was like, nope, this is worth the argument on the internet for me.
Right. Yes.
So I was doing that. And at the same time, I'm in a bunch of different parenting groups on Facebook. It's like one of the main things I use Facebook for.
Yeah.
And I would see someone being like, I need this formula. And then over here, I'd see someone be like, hey, I have a couple of cans I don't really need, or I can spare for now, or whatever. And they were just all over the place. And my head was starting to go like, oh, well, what if we actually got all these people together? Like, what if there wasn't as much of a shortage as we thought?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And there is a shortage. The shelves should not be bare.
Sure.
Right. Totally.
But what if we as a community could come together?
Right.
And I was definitely feeling this, like, I have to do something. We got to feed these. I can't imagine being a parent who feeds their baby formula and doesn't know where they're going to get their next can from, like that worry and that fear, like I cannot imagine. So, I have a friend who's also in the lactation world, and we were texting each other and joking like, man, should I just relactate? Which is totally a thing.
Yeah.
I nursed three babies really well. I had tons of milk. I was like, I don't know, maybe I should just do this. Like, I'll start giving away milk. That's, you know, but it's very time intensive.
Sure.
And the amount, like, again, you have to eat 500 extra calories, and it's so much time.
Yeah.
And so she and I were both joking, like, we should relactate. And you're like, no, that's really dumb. We can't actually sustain that. But we have to do something.
Okay.
What are we going to do? And she has been pretty involved in the mutual aid world here in Portland throughout COVID, getting people masks when they need them, various different things. So she already kind of had some experience in like what it looks like to bring together a community to help each other out.
Okay. And that's what I don't know the term mutual aid.
Yeah. So mutual aid is when it's actually more in the BIPOC community than us white folks.
Sure.
So we actually tread very lightly. We talked to quite a few of the block leaders in town before we started this because we're both white ladies.
Yeah.
And we wanted to be respectful. But we saw this need that needed to be met and no one else was doing it. And so it's basically what you might imagine how a nonprofit would start, except none of them have the intention of getting to nonprofit status.
Okay. Yeah.
It's, we're kind of leaving capitalism and government out of it. And we take care of us is kind of one of the big phrases they use. We take care of us.
Yeah.
You know, scarcity is a myth.
I love that.
Because we all got each other's backs, you know? So we came together and we created a Twitter and a Facebook group and an Instagram, because that's how people get word out these days.
Sure.
And we just started collecting donations from people. We got donations of unopened cans. We got money donations. So then
that's amazing.
We would buy stuff when we saw it. But we weren't buying things that... Okay, let me back up. So we created a Google form.
Okay.
Good old spreadsheets.
Yeah.
Where someone could say like, here's my name. We asked if they were part of a marginalized group or not. That was important to us.
Mm-hmm.
What area of town they were in, what formula they needed, how soon they needed it, that kind of stuff. So when we had a need come in, then we would get our eyes on the shelves and use the money that was donated to buy for them. We didn't want to contribute to the shortage.
Right.
And so then we've really relied on other folks in our community to help us deliver. Our folks would come to a porch pickup or things like that.
Very cool.
So it's been really amazing. And the group has kind of evolved a little bit to where a lot of it is folks just offering themselves, like here, rather than giving us the donation, they're just putting it out there. Like, here's what I have. Here's a picture of it. Who wants it?
Oh, that's great. Like Facebook Marketplace kind of
Basically.
What's the name of the group?
Feeding Babes Block.
Cool.
Yeah.
Love that. And is that how people can find you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Twitter. Facebook.
Yeah. Feeding Babes Block. So on Facebook, it's a private group. You just have a few questions you have to answer.
Great.
We don't do as much on Twitter as I maybe had planned.
Okay.
But you certainly can reach out to us that way.
I don't understand how to use Twitter.
I hate social media.
Oh, it's like, the worst.
I hate it. But it's how we get a hold of people right now.
And that's so true. I mean, it is the web of it all. Like the interconnectivity that it allows is amazing. But it is a nonstop. A lot.
Yeah.
Of
so one of the other things that we did that's been really helpful that actually takes the labor off of almost everybody, the work, is asking for formula aisle pictures.
Oh,
so that's a great idea.
If anyone who's listening wants to take pictures of the formula aisle when they're at a grocery store and send it to us on Twitter or Instagram
that's
or wherever,
such a cool idea.
Then we share it with the larger group. And so instead of driving to 20 stores looking for their formula, they can just look at the images. We ask people to give us a day and time with it. Like in the Facebook group, we have a daily post. So for today, put your pictures of grocery store hooks in here.
That's such an
interesting idea. It's like Waze, you know, like where you can like you report if there's a cop somewhere, if there's an accident or something.
Yeah, totally.
I wonder if there was a real time way to like have inventory.
Right. Reports. And that's what would be amazing cool is if we could get connections in with folks who either work at grocery stores or who do Instacart. I haven't been able to connect to anybody who does those things. So if anyone wants to reach out, they can.
Yeah.
I'm trying to, I don't actually use our email address that much. What is it? Feedingbabesblock@protonmail.com, I think.
Okay.
But just reach out on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. That's totally
fine. You can
fine.
Also reach out to us, you know, letseat@mikeyandrin.com and we'll pass it along to you. But that, I mean, that's a fantastic idea. I love that. I mean, being someone who this is like a totally different world, but you know, I'm a chef. I do a lot of recipe development. And just this last week, I was like trying to look for some like relatively obscure ingredients and I ran all over. I mean, I drove 100 miles to try to find like, and I was looking for soy, like I was looking for tamari powder.
Okay.
But like very different thing. Yeah. But it was just, I couldn't get a hold of anybody to ask them actually if they had it on the shelf. And it was like, you couldn't look it up online. So that's a, what a cool community thing. I love that.
And it's been so important with gas prices being high too.
Definitely.
Yeah. And it's impacted everyone of every socioeconomic status. So for a lot of people, they don't need us to gift them formula. They just need
to find it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Right. So we've had folks donate. We've had over $1,500 donated. We've spent all but $75 at this point.
Amazing.
And you can donate through like the Facebook group, for instance.
Yeah. If you go find us on social media, we've got like the whole Linktree thing.
Wonderful.
It takes you to our Cash App and our Venmo.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Great. Well, that's great.
Yeah.
So good.
Do you want to ask a fun question and then I'll ask some fun questions?
Yes.
Are these the ones I'm going to get wrong?
Yes. Well, mine you're going to
wrong.
Mine
no
you will get wrong, but Rin's you will get probably right.
Yeah, mine you cannot get wrong. There's wrong answer.
We've got our person picking up our Ridwell.
Yeah.
Ridwell doesn't pay us for anything. So
they
They should. They should try. Ridwell, because Portland doesn't recycle all the things that are recyclable. And so Ridwell comes and gets all the hard to recycle things, like batteries.
That's fun
and stuff.
That they're doing the pickup right now.
Ours was picked up yesterday.
Amazing.
Oh, fabulous.
Yeah.
This is our first time. So very exciting.
Okay. So, Sarah, this is, you probably know these questions because this is something we like to ask all of our guests.
Okay.
Two parter. First part, who's your celebrity crush?
Oh, I was thinking about this the other day.
And then the second part is, what meal would you prepare for said celeb crush? Could be dinner or it could be a breakfast.
Gosh, who is my celebrity crush right now?
I like that it changes.
Oh, yeah. It needs to evolve. Does.
She's like right now.
Well, there's also a lot of people that I've found attractive that have turned out to be monsters.
Well, there's that.
Like, wow, is that what just happened? Crush gone.
Yeah. I will say the theme for me is accents. So like growing up was Antonio Banderas.
Oh, yes. Okay, come on.
I like that. Mm-hmm.
We had accent night in college where we would go to, I went to school in Ithaca. So we went to Ithaca College and then we'd go to Cornell. And we would each have an accent. And I swear our like success rate went very much up.
Yes.
On accent nights.
Yes. Good stuff. James McAvoy might be my current.
Do you know who that is?
I think
so. I don't
know.
I'm so bad about it.
What all has he been in? So he was in His Dark Materials, I think is his most recent thing I've seen, which I love those books.
Okay.
And the movie, the Golden Compass movie was terrible. So I was really nervous when the movie came out or the series came out.
Oh, you totally know who he is. This guy.
Yeah.
Yes.
He's handsome.
Yeah.
Like it. And he's got his version of his accent.
Scottish.
Too. Yeah. I was going to say it's Scottish. It feels a little bit more like they take charge or like be fun.
Totally.
Got a little edge to them.
So I don't know how to answer this other question because.
Is he with Alanis Morissette? Wait, hold on.
Tangent.
Oh no, I'm sorry. His wife just looks like a man.
So the funny thing for me about coming on your show is that I don't do kitchen.
Oh. Yes.
I know kitchen.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I actually was making a meal for my family earlier this week and I was like, ooh, maybe they'll ask me what I'm making. And I'm actually making a meal right now. And I'm so proud of it. Like that's how much I don't do kitchen.
What we have not talked about is you can also like Grubhub or
of
Caviar
course.
Or something from, you know, from the coitus bed. They'll deliver
the
it to you.
Coital bed? Coital bed.
The coiled bed. The comfy snuggly bed.
Yes.
But you can, it could be something you'd order too. That's easier.
Sure. For whatever reason, sushi popped into mind.
Ooh,
yes. Sushi's sexy.
Sushi is so sexy. Yeah. And it's also like, I never walk away from a meal of sushi and feel like, oh man, I ate way too much.
Right.
Like I could still sex it up after a sushi
meal. Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There's,
it feels like fuel. Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. Like, yes. Nobody should be eating like barbecue on like a date where they might have sex later.
Right. Still picking stuff out of your teeth.
The double fried baked potato, please. You know.
Yeah, if you're having barbecue, that's a fuck first situation.
No doubt.
Yeah.
And then that's your reward.
Yes.
And then you sleep in separate homes.
Yes.
Okay, so now for the questions that you're not going to get right.
Fantastic.
Uh-huh. So we are now at the Mikey Quizathon.
Oh, wow.
I don't quite have my my thing dialed yet, but I kind of like something like that.
Yeah, we'll keep workshopping it.
I won't. So we've been talking, obviously, about feeding today and about babies. Mm-hmm. And I was just thinking about milk. I was thinking a lot about milk. Mm-hmm. So not necessarily breast milk, but just milk as kind of a general thing. It's been a rough go for me in my life.
Okay.
Not because I'm lactose intolerant, but I just think milk is kind of disgusting.
Which is funny because your dad, shout out to your dad who listens to the podcast, drinks 4 or 5 glasses of milk a day. He's an adult man.
And can we maybe say causation?
Right?
Why do I think it's disgusting? Because my father drinks like this. And it's milk.
Is there always a milk mustache situation?
I don't really remember many milk mustaches.
Well, it's because he drinks skim milk. So there's no water. There's no residue.
It's not cloying. Yeah. the other one, milk in my life, was the only academic success that I've really had in my life was I was a part of this like study in college. And it was actually about the term hooking up. Like, what does it mean to hook up? And we kind of interviewed all these people. But anyways, we got this award, which we had to go to like Niagara Falls for. And there was this conference. We got this award and I got like a little plaque. And my name is Mike Sheether. And my plaque said milk shatter.
It did not.
It did.
How do you do that?
And I was like, wait, they thought my name was milk? And then milk pooper, like milk shatter was my name. So
God, your one and only crowning achievement in college too.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah. It's whatever. It's okay.
It's still on the wall somewhere though, isn't it? Yeah.
I don't know where it is. It's in our basement somewhere.
Yeah.
We'll have to frame it and then put it on a trophy. And then
you're going to want to tell your kid about this.
Oh, definitely. For sure.
Yeah.
His name, he might be Milk Jr. Okay, so we have a milk quiz today.
Okay.
So first question on the milk quiz. Mm-hmm. What is the coolest way to drink milk? The coolest way to drink milk.
Through a one of those, remember those straws? Ooh, the curly zippy straws?
Like a chutes and ladder straw.
Yeah. Like the helmet with the straw.
Ooh, helmet with the straw.
Yeah, that's a potentially dangerous situation if the milk spills into your hair or something. It's real smelly. You're never getting that out.
My brain went to the technical side of things and saying like straight out of the fridge.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I like that. Yeah. Okay, that's awesome. Yeah, I guess technically we could have said like, you freeze dried milk or like ice, what do they call it? Dry ice.
Slushy or
like
something.
Dry ice milk.
Mm-hmm. Dry ice. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Final answers?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, sorry, you're both incorrect. The correct coolest way to drink milk was when I was a kid and I didn't drink milk at home. And then I went to a ski lesson and they forced me to drink a pint of milk and I vomited the milk in front of all the other kids.
Oh.
And then was traumatized by the idea of milk for years.
Yeah. God, isn't that interesting? There's the inception, right?
Yep. Yeah. Could be.
It's milk aversion.
I think it was before that too.
Well, but if he didn't want to drink it then.
Yeah. Right. Oh, that's true.
It was already, the trauma was already pre-planted.
Bigger roots.
Yeah.
Digging down.
The biggie roots. Okay, so 0-0. Second question. What's the best place to store milk? Best place to store milk.
Yeah, I'm stepping into a trap here, but it's the fridge for me.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Mikey doesn't like milk in the cow.
Keep it in the cow. Yeah, I have an anti-milking stance. No, just leave it in there. Let those poor ladies just explode.
Or into their baby cows.
Into the baby cows. No, that's true. Well, no, actually,
okay, there you
I do
go.
Actually,
baby cows. That's
actually
my final answer.
That's,
yes.
I'm not going to, it's not the correct answer because it's not the correct answer, but that is correct.
That's a
we
really,
should not be drinking other mammals' milk.
That's
disgusting.
That's a really, really good answer.
No, best place to store milk was my roommate in college who left a quart of milk under our joint bunked bed for, I'm going to say 6 months.
Oh my gosh.
And then it was unopened.
Okay.
Then it got opened and it was the foulest,
oh my God,
crustiest. It smelled like someone had died in our room.
Yep.
And and then because we were drunk, dumb college kids, it didn't really get thrown out or cleaned up for another week or something like that.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
It was disgusting.
Definitely. Yeah, and that smell really lingers.
Mm-hmm. Spoiled milk has a foulness that's unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's mm-hmm. ungodly. Yeah.
Unmatched.
Unmatched.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. Final question. The current score is 0-0. It's nil nil. ZZ. Third.
I can tell Sarah's like,
I'm trying so hard.
I'm going to fucking win this thing.
Oh, yeah.
You can see it in her face.
Oh, I know.
You can
she's
tell
pissed.
When we have a competitive person oh, on yeah. the show, right? Because she's like, she's already like, how can I win
Did
this?
You
What's
say
the strategy?
Unwinnable? Not possible.
No, it's not yeah. possible.
Okay. Third and final question. What's the best place to eat ice cream?
Best place to eat ice cream.
Best place to eat ice cream.
Everyday's. In Lakeland, Ooh. Where I used to scoop ice cream.
Oh,
and
nice.
Sometimes work the short order grill as well.
I didn't know you were an ice cream scooper.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't really do so much of that. They kept me in the
back. Get back there.
Away from the customers.
Are you just really bad at scooping ice cream?
I was never really given the opportunity.
Oh.
I know.
We could get you a scooper job yeah. this summer. Okay. Yeah, Salt and Straw's looking for something.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, I will say it was the summer. It was a big party summer.
Oh.
And I was both driving a beer cart on a golf course and then working the short order situation.
Ooh, yeah. Sounds like you were run pretty ragged.
Yeah. I can't imagine that I was like an A-plus employee.
They were like your hangover shakes, like when you're trying to scoop the rocky road. They're like,
well, I like that they were like, maybe not scooping ice cream, but definitely go cook people's food.
Right? Yeah, you can cook eggs. And, yeah,
nothing like could it. Go wrong.
Yeah, Everyday's.
Everyday's got it.
Okay,
what you got?
On a dock of a lake.
Ooh, that's a good answer. And adjacently. It's close to what I was going to say. So the best place to eat ice cream is the time where we went to a lake as a family over the summer. And there was a bunch of we were at the ice cream place. Mm-hmm. And this camp that was all girls camp that was like down the road that we didn't know. They like opened up the doors. And it was like I was probably 13 or something. And all these like beautiful girls got out of the van and they were like starved for outside world attention. So they like saw me and my cousin were like, cute and flirting with us. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. And I got an ice cream cone and I was trying to play it super cool. And my ice cream rolled off of my cone onto the ground. And I decided that these girls would think it was super cool if I popped it into it was covered in like, I'm going to say cigarette butts, but it was definitely like ground stuff. Didn't really wipe it off and just popped it right into my mouth. And these girls, very unimpressed.
Didn't think it was cool.
No, it was the end of our conversation for sure.
I'm just going to advocate for Sarah that
the lakeness.
Yeah. I mean, close. She at least needs somewhat of a percentage point there.
And then the second question, you know, you were kind of in a similar, like, so I'm going to give you a quarter of a point for each. So that gives you a half a point and it makes you ding, 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 the winner of today's game. Oops. No. There we go. Congratulations.
Has that ever happened before?
We've had a couple, like quarter of a point, eighth of a point, half point winners.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
You don't get anything for it, but just
no,
the pride.
No plaque with my name misspelled. <You could, yeah. laughs> I feel like you need to give condensed answers to yours. So like for that last one.
Yeah.
With hot girls.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. With hot girls. That's true.
Yeah.
But then I like
it makes
your
a much less funny story.
I like your Well, you start with the story.
Right.
Yeah.
But then
the
final answer.
Oh, it's hot girls.
With hot girls.
Okay. Yeah.
I like that.
I like that.
See, that's good feedback.
The other part of it is that we don't take notes, though. I don't take notes.
I'll let myself out.
I don't take feedback.
I'm not taking advice. Isn't that what
Kanye
said?
Yeah. He had a press. Do you know about that?
We love to put Kanye up on a pedestal.
Oh, yeah. Well, he had a press conference where he announced that he was no longer taking advice.
I did not know.
That's amazing. That to me is like worth the price of admission.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, I'm not taking advice like from your accountant or your lawyers or anything. You're just like, no more.
But, okay, no more.
Cool. Right.
Sarah, this was such a joy.
Yeah.
You are a gem of a human. Thanks for doing what you do. Will you list off again the social media places where people can find you?
Yeah, for sure. So my lactation practice is called Opus Lactation. Mm-hmm. So it's just at Opus Lactation, various places. And then if you are struggling to find formula for whatever reason, you can reach out to us at Feeding Babes Block on the social medias.
Amazing.
Fabulous.
I love it.
This was fun.
I'm kind of hungry for some breast milk.
Put some in a smoothie.
Oof. I think I gotta just go straight.
Take a shot.
Straight up.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank
Absolutely.
You.
Bye. That was a really amazing conversation. So illuminating on a lot of the things that we are, I mean, that are coming up in our immediate future.
Yes.
But also just things that we should be thinking about as eating and feeding humans.
Yes. Yeah. So if you want to learn more about Sarah, she is at opuslactation.com and also opuslactation on social meds. If you are in Portland and you want to be a part of this formula assistance that she has really brilliantly co-founded, it is called Feeding Babes Block. And she did say they're much more active on Facebook than on Twitter, but messages in either of those places will get you connected. And also that is a place where you can donate some funds if you're able to do that.
Yeah. And you can do that whether or not you live in Portland. This is a great thing to be.
True.
Yeah, great thing to be helping out. I think the idea of the sharing formula aisles photos, that's
so smart.
Wild to me. Like that so is smart. That's such a cool innovation around this. Cause I mean, talk about people that don't have extra time to be fucking around, driving all around town to try to find an essential food.
Yep.
I love that.
Yeah. So we are Mikey and Rin. You can find us on social media platforms.
Great.
At Mikey and Rin.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can DM us on Instagram and you can also email us at letseat@mikeyandrin.com.
The other thing that just happened this morning is I'm starting to post stuff on TikTok.
Oh,
yeah. We're talking.
I see you.
Yeah. So we've got lots of, we're going to have some cool videos coming up there. We've got a lot of, I've just been videotaping is what I was about to say.
Oh boy. God, we're not on TikTok because we're fucking old and irrelevant.
How do I get this VH tape up to the talk ticks? But I have a lot. I've just been filming Rinny a lot lately and just her cuteness and her eating and her whatever. And so there's lots of like fun things with, you know, her dancing around eating some biscuits and stuff. I don't know. Fuck you. Love you guys.
We love you.
Bye. Hey guys, we're back from our wonderful interview. We're also listening to our friend's dog slurp water in the background.
It feels very like appropriate.
It does feel. He's drinking. He's eating.
Yeah. I like it.
He's
like
suckling at the teat of the water bowl.
Hey, parents. Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity, set up chores, and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley. For the love of home.